Good morning, everyone. It's lovely to be here this morning. Sorry for all the kerfuffle with the miking, but we've been advised that this first workshop's been recorded. And after this workshop, thankfully, this microphone will be coming off and we'll be able to speak more freely with the groups. I'm delighted to be here this morning and to see so many well-kent faces in the room. It's lovely being part of this event, which recognises and celebrates the work which has taken place since the publication of Teaching Scotland's Future in 2007. My colleague, Jane Horsburgh, who's been mic'd up, and I have been working within the teacher education team at Education Scotland, along with our previous colleague, Kate Payton, and various national partners. We've been taking forward some of the key recommendations in Teaching Scotland's Future over the past couple of years. The purpose of today's presentation is to share detail as to the range of work which we've been undertaking as a team, linked to the continuum of teacher education. We plan to focus, first of all, on career-long professional learning and the strategies which as a team we've been promoting and which we'll continue to promote to impact upon the climate and culture within Scotland's schools. As well as that, we'll be talking about developments linked to the early phase, evidence of practice which has been collated from HMI inspection reports 2014, resources designed to support mentoring and coaching, and ongoing work which contributes to career-long professional learning, including the leadership programme for aspiring head teachers, the Flexible Route to Headship programme. In highlighting a couple of developments linked to the early phase, a new web resource was launched in January of this year, called Teach in Scotland. This resource seeks to bring together the best of practice from the former Teaching in Scotland website, which was led by Scottish Government, and the Aspiring Teachers website, which was managed by Education Scotland. The website aims to provide support for people who are considering a career in teaching and is split into a number of headings. Do I have what it takes? Get into teaching, studying and working, and professional learning. Within these headings, support is provided through case studies, information concerning necessary prior learning and application procedures, tests to develop literacy and numeracy skills, and there's reference to the General Teaching Council for Scotland professional standards. Stronger links are also made between the experiences of students and the experiences of NQTs, emphasising the need for greater coherence in this area of the learning continuum. In Teaching Scotland's Future, Donaldson examines the early years of teachers' experiences and highlights the period covering initial teacher education, induction, and the early years of employment lays the foundations of professional values, knowledge, and expertise of those who will be our teachers and educational leaders. Currently, the stages in the early phase of a teacher's learning operate largely independently. The report continues to say that in order to improve coherence of these stages of teacher education and maximise their impact on the learning of students and teachers, it should operate as a single planned early phase in career-long professional development. The Teach in Scotland website seeks to support this aspect of Donaldson's vision. In addition, it provides information for new teachers to enable them to perform at higher levels, preparing themselves for meeting enhanced demands as regards selection criteria, and also allowing them to show competence at a later stage. further to the last slide, which emphasised coherence. Donaldson's report also raises the profile, as Petra said, of working together and partnerships. Recommendation 10, you can read on the screen there. And recommendation 15, which also emphasises the need for new and strengthened models of partnership amongst universities, local authorities, schools, and individual teachers. Positive progress regarding the development of partnership working has been noted throughout the implementation phase of Teaching Scotland's Future. Indeed, in a report to the Cabinet Secretary in 2012, Education Scotland highlighted aspects of this progress, noting that innovation and creativity were being used to support and build partnerships, that the hub school model was being developed by universities and local authorities, that joint appointments were being made to universities involving seconded staff from local authorities to help support initial teacher education, that staff from local authorities and universities were working much more closely together, and that some universities were also trying to ensure continuity with their students, so continuing to work with students through their NQT years. To meet a request of the National Partnership Group in 2012, that by August of the following year, all local authorities and universities providing initial teacher education should have entered into formal partnership agreements, and to build upon effective practice which was already taking place, the Scottish Government committed a substantial amount of money to support work around the early phase of teacher learning as well as to master's level learning. As you can see from recommendation 19, Education Scotland was advised to pay much greater cognizance to partnership work in their inspection of establishments. In addition, the National Implementation Board tasked Education Scotland, in collaboration with key stakeholders, with arranging and conducting an aspect review of local authority university partnerships. The first phase of this process was carried out in January this year. Teams comprising of HMI, Education Scotland staff, local authority staff, university staff, and students visited and worked with all nine partnerships, learning about the wealth of practice which is taking place across the country. As you've already heard this morning, a report will be published in the autumn of this year, and a second phase of the review process will take place at the beginning of next year. Many who participated in phase one spoke very highly of the experience. The people on the review teams found that it really was an excellent learning opportunity, and the people working within the partnerships who worked with the teams said that they actually really enjoyed taking stock of what they'd achieved over the year and pulling together the work which they had done together. So it was a very positive experience. Finally, before passing on to Jane, I would like to share information with you which has come from HMI inspection reports. The points which are highlighted featured regularly in inspection reports over the course of last year, and clear links can be drawn to the content and to the ethos of Teaching Scotland's Future. I've extracted a number of points from Enhancing CLPL and Enhancing Leadership, which I would like to mention to you. Demonstrating collaborative or partnership working, including closer working between schools and universities. Showing a blended approach, which encourages personal responsibility. encouraging the development of leadership at all levels, and promoting mentoring and coaching approaches. Examples which feature under enhancing early phase and engagement with standards, PRD and PU highlight practice which links local authority programmes closely with teaching practice or experience, ensures a comprehensive approach to the provision of professional learning in schools, and enables all staff to feel confident in processes of self-evaluation, including preparation for PRD and self-evaluation against the standards. This is where I'm going to pass on to Jane, who's going to talk to you a little, first of all, about career-long professional learning.
Good morning. Petra Vend has already mentioned the focus on changing culture, and that's really what we're going to focus on in this section. She said that it's easy to change structures, but it's a long-term programme to change cultures, and I think that's really what I would like to focus on in this part of our presentation. So thanks very much, Celia. Teaching Scotland's future was very clear. That the message from successful education systems across the world was this: by building the capacity of teachers themselves, we will achieve long-term sustained improvement and have real impact on children's learning in Scotland. And the National Implementation Board brought together a work plan which became our national determined effort to build the capacity of teachers themselves. It was already clear that teachers often felt that what we called continuing professional development was used to push them towards externally set goals. The culture was often one of counting up and accounting for their 35 hours. TSF set the agenda for a shift in this culture towards building capacity by empowering teachers, enabling them, recognising them as professionals with individual needs, and equipping them to be inquiring professionals with individual needs. Engaging in career-long professional learning and thus impacting more meaningfully on the young people in their charge. TSF also recognised explicitly the role of learning for leadership in bringing about this culture shift, specifically considering the need for high-quality programmes to equip aspiring school leaders to lead this change in culture. SCEL, as we know, are now developing the Into Headship programme, and this programme is incorporating the best elements of current programmes like SQH and FRH. Currently, Education Scotland continues to manage the FRH programme in partnership with local authorities, universities and the GTC. FRH exemplifies this culture of career-long professional learning and reflects the GTC standard for leadership and management, which also emphasises the role of the head teacher in developing staff capability, capacity and leadership to support a culture of learning. FRH has been updated and aligned with the GTC standard for leadership and management, and post-TSF, 130 teachers have achieved the standard for headship through the FRH programme. The current cohort now has 60 participants from 17 local authorities, and these teachers are now well placed to take on school leadership roles in the very near future. The culture shift to CLPL is now evident in all of the national policies and guidelines, and I've tried to illustrate how leaders might use these to engage teachers in career-long professional learning in this very simplified diagram. As you can see, the post-TSF policies and guidelines support five stages in a process which is never-ending, indeed career-long professional learning, a cycle of professional learning, which will enable teachers to submit a claim for professional update at 5-yearly intervals, and thus professional update becomes an integral part of the cycle and not an add-on. More of this, I'm sure, in the GTC workshop. From this slide, you can also see the importance of the way that the developments progressed by each of the partners work together. At each stage, all of the partners have worked together to produce guidelines and documentation and resources to support leaders to take this forward in their schools. Career-long professional learning, therefore, becomes a journey which the teacher maps out for themselves in line with external priorities, taking on board the school improvement plan and national priorities. But importantly, it's about the teacher themselves. At every stage in the journey, teachers engage in that cyclical process of self-evaluation, planning, implementation, and reflection on impact. Career long means that it's a bit like a bus journey. Regardless of where you decide to get off the bus, you're still engaged as a career long professional learner and a leader of education. But you are making choices about how and where you lead. The bus stops on this journey are the stages in the framework for educational leadership, which is being explored in much more depth in the SCALE workshop. Another foundational part of this culture shift is the diamond model of professional learning. It is central to the career-long professional learning guidelines and is now used by all of the teacher education partners in their guidelines and policies for career-long professional learning. It originated from a model developed and published by Jenny Reeves, Christine Ford and others in 2002. And further emphasises the place of the practitioner at the centre of professional learning. The model illustrates the relationship between professional learning and the enhancement of practice for maximum impact, echoing what Petra said about, you know, the ultimate aim is to impact on our young people. These four types of learning, which research suggests will ensure sustained and impactful professional growth, are reflection on practice. And while this begins with self-evaluation, leaders are now using the language of the inquiring professional to look at reflection on practice. Experiential learning, working with others, trying things out. Does this really work in my classroom? What do I still need to do to make this better for these young people? Using literature, cognitive development, using literature and research to support and challenge ideas. Who says this? Where can I find the evidence for it? And collaborative learning, or what the research calls social learning processes, working together and learning from each other. Individual, team, school, local authority and national professional learning experiences should all take cognizance of this model to ensure sustainable and impactful learning for professionals across the education community. I would argue not just teachers. I'm aware that this model is being explored in more depth in the SCALE workshop, and it's also fundamental to the framework for educational leadership. And this illustrates again how national policy and guidelines link together to send a joined up single message to the profession. Regardless of where they choose to seek support for their professional learning, they will find the same message. One of the most powerful strategies in bringing about this culture change towards career-long professional learning and the embedding of the four aspects of professional learning is mentoring. Recommendation 39 is possibly the shortest and the most explicit recommendation in the whole of the TSF report, but I believe the outcomes from it will be amongst the most powerful in influencing the culture change that we're seeking in our schools. In taking forward this recommendation, Education Scotland developed a resource called Mentoring Matters, a web-based resource which was based on the work of the New Teacher Centre in Santa Cruz, California. I'm just pointing out to you where this information can be found on the web page. The resource includes support for training mentors, as well as exemplification of mentoring conversations between teachers at all different career stages, at all different stops on their bus journey. Education specifically funded three research projects supporting local authority and university partnerships to consider the impact of mentoring on professional growth. Edinburgh University and Edinburgh City looked at the use of peer mentoring with students during peered placements in the early phase. Stirling University and Perth and Kinross Council looked at exemplifying good practice in PRD interviews and the use of mentoring in this context. And Glasgow and Aberdeen University worked with North Lanarkshire and Aberdeenshire to look at peer mentoring to support professional inquiry and career-long professional learning. The work of Glasgow and Aberdeen University particularly illustrates teachers taking charge of their own professional learning, using mentoring to explore a challenging issue through professional inquiry and so improve outcomes for young people. I have to point out that Kay Livingston's in our audience today and she led that project. So you might want to speak to her about it in more detail. I would like to point out to you that in one of these conversations that we have videoed, it's called The Challenge of Odd and Even Numbers for a P2 Pupil. A probationer can be seen mentoring an experienced class teacher, and this demonstrates just how empowering this methodology can be. I hope you'll get an opportunity to look at some of these resources. To support practitioners, our professional learning area highlights effective practice in a number of aspects, and practitioners from across Scotland were asked to speak specifically about the changes in their practice brought about since Teaching Scotland's Future. On the career-long professional learning area on our website, under Supporting and Engaging in Professional Learning, Jay Helbert, a primary school head teacher at the time, shares some of his thoughts outlining practices which he believes enable professional learning and impact positively on a school's learning culture and climate. We'd just like to show you a small section from Jay's video clip. Thank you.
Here at Petersham Primary School, we've been building a culture of career-long professional learning in the light of Teaching Scotland's Future, so that we can continue to improve and meet the needs of all learners. We have developed models of collaborative professional inquiry, professional learning, and these sit at the centre of our improvement strategy. Traditionally, CPD might have been going on a course once or twice a year, and whilst there was some payoff to these in terms of their efficacy, as measured by impact on outcomes for young people, some of them were at best inconsistent, too often ineffective, and in some cases, a waste of time. All this, coupled with new financial imperatives, means that we need to be smarter when considering professional development. We each have a role to play in career-long professional learning. All practitioners must make time for reading, research, learning conversations, and attending seminars, whether real or virtual. We cannot allow professional learning to be put on the back burner while we get through the daily tasks of marking, reporting, planning, tracking, and all of the other tasks we face. Rather, we must come to an understanding that high-quality professional learning will lead to greater understanding, higher levels of energy, and more efficient ways of working. Practitioners must constantly seek out opportunities to learn something new, refine prior knowledge, and critically reflect upon their practice and seek feedback and advice. And above all else, teachers must apply what they learn and assess its impact. In our Tricia Primary School, we have invested a lot of time building a shared ethos of trust to allow this to happen. Professional learning should be based upon research, not hunches and whims. This means greater collaboration between practitioners, universities, and supporting agencies such as local authorities, Education Scotland, SCEL, and so on. This will mean that practice is based on research, research is based in practice, and high-quality information about what works best is widely shared and easily accessed. Teachers should be skilled in practitioner research, identifying what needs to be improved, formulating effective questions about the issues, accessing relevant literature and information, applying change, and measuring or observing the impact over time within their own classrooms. This should be done in partnership with colleagues within and beyond the school setting. Here in Antrochip, we've developed a collaborative model of moderation, moderating planning, teaching and learning and assessment, which works at stage partner level, whole school and between schools. This has proven to increase teacher confidence in pedagogy and the standards we expect from children across all curricular areas, which in turn has led to greater consistency in terms of tracking pupil attendance across the school. Professional nourishment can come from physically attending a conference, watching one of the growing number of online speakers by organisations such as TED or the RSA, and it can also come from conversations with colleagues, pupils and parents. Professional curiosity is also a key element of being a career-long learner. Thanks to Twitter, LinkedIn, podcasts, blogs, and a host of other online resources and communities, it's possible and pleasurable to spend small amounts of time each week allowing professional curiosity to lead you.
That's just a sample of some of the conversations that we've got on our website. Just finally, for your reference, most but not all of our work is evident on the professional learning area of the Education Scotland website. And it can now be accessed from the landing page using this button that pointed out to you there at the top. The resources include all of the work we've mentioned here today, support for the early phase, Teaching Scotland, National Guidelines for Career-Long Professional Learning, National Guidelines for PRD to support good practice, Mentoring Matters, the Framework for Educational Leadership, which now links to the SCEL website, information about FRH, and links to all our other partner agencies and relevant information about professional learning, including the GTC, the TSF website, SCEL, and PL Find. So thank you for listening. I hope you've found that useful and that some of these resources will be helpful as you take forward the TSF agenda. Celia's going to give you an idea of what we're going to do in the workshop.
I hope that Jean and I have given you some understanding of the work of the teacher education team over the last few years and helping to put some of that work into the context of Teaching Scotland's future. What we would like to do just now, if this works, is to pose three questions to yourselves, thinking specifically of career-long professional learning. What work do you think still requires to be done in this area? What will you take forward as a result of what you have heard today? And what might Education Scotland, as one of the partners, still do to support you in your work? And we wonder, just for the last 10 to 12 minutes, if within your groups you would mind taking a piece of the flip chart paper, and if you could just bullet some points under these areas. We will obviously share this with our colleagues and see how this then can be used to implement further work across the country. So your views today would be very much appreciated, and your honest views would be very much appreciated as well. So thank you very much for your time this morning. And we certainly look forward to reading some of your thoughts at the end of the workshop. Thank you.